to the Vineyard. If you are joining us online, we are so happy that you're here with us. As the sign said, my name is Christina, and I'm one of the pastors here. And it is my absolute joy and privilege to be bringing you the message this morning. So how are you all doing?
Good.
Good? You all doing well? Okay, so we are currently in a series that we are calling Binge Worthy. Binge Worthy. So we know there are a lot of good TV shows out there, right? Everybody knows what it means to binge a show, right? Right? Nobody lives under a rock. We got this. But not only do we believe that there are some good shows out there, but we believe that God's word is binge worthy. So what we've done is we've taken a series and then we're using it as a springboard to jump into God's word and to explore more of what God is saying and to see if it is indeed binge worthy. So the series that I have chosen is This Is Us. This Is Us. Any This Is Us fans in the house? Yeah. Why didn't get a woo woo for This Is Us? Where are my people? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Any other This Is Us fans in the house? Yes. On this side? I don't know why you're in the dark, but hello. Okay. All right. So, you know, but you guys are just not as excited about it as I am. If you're watching online, if you're joining us online, type in the name of your favorite sibling. Is it Randall? Is it Kate? Is it Kevin? Type in the name of your favorite sibling. So I want to see, you know, I am a diehard fan. And I wanted to see if there was any other people in the house that were also fans. So I created a very short list so that we don't lose the ones that don't watch the show. Of you might be a This Is Us fan if, right? I've just got 3 points. Now, what you need to know is that this show is essentially about a couple named Jack and Rebecca. And so spoiler alert, for those of you that don't watch the show, there are no real-life Jacks in the real world, just so you know, right? Jack in the show, I know.
He's amazing.
He is. See, this is my peeps right here. This is my peeps. I'm going to create a My People section. Anyways, so Jack in the show is like the perfect husband. He's just like dreamy, and he's just wonderful, and he's perfect. Okay, so that's a little bit of, and we'll talk a little bit more about the show in a few minutes, but that's pretty much the basis of it. So you might be a This Is Us fan if this is the look you give your own husband every Tuesday night, show the picture. If this is the look you give your own husband every Tuesday night, you might be a This Is Us fan. Number two, if you don't even care that this is what you look like 30 minutes into the show, Then you must be a This Is Us fan. Every week, people, this is what I look like every week. And number one, you might be a This Is Us fan if you prefer this Kevin over this Kevin, you might be a This Is Us fan. Just having a little fun this morning. So I think the reason why I love this show is because I identify with this show so much. I feel, thank goodness I'm not paying to watch this, because I feel like they're just showing my life on the screen, right? Like it's just all about me. So I'm glad I'm not paying to watch my own life on the screen. And the way I relate to it is that what happens is, again, spoiler alert, is Jack dies, right? So many of you know that I am a widow. 10 years ago, my husband died in a motorcycle accident. He was 42, or maybe he had just turned 43. He was 43 years old. I was 40. And he was here 1 minute and gone the next. They have three kids in the show. I have three kids. And when Jack dies on the show, it's roughly the age my kids were when my husband passed. She has triplets, and they were all 17. My kids, when my husband passed, were 17, 15, and 12. One of the characters on the show, Kate, she struggles with her weight. And so there are a lot of issues. It's so well written. So there are a lot of issues there that I identify with. I'll talk more about this in a little bit, but one of the ways that I coped after my husband passed was I became a home for young ladies that needed a home. And so in this series, there's adoption is a big part of the story as well. And so I just really feel like I am watching my life on the screen. And again, it is so well written. So that is why I'm a fan of the show. So Rebecca in the show is a widow. I'm a widow. And so I thought, let's look at a widow in the Bible. So we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, and this is a widow in the Bible. And we're going to read, I'm going to read this whole passage for you real quick, and then we'll take it from there. Okay. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Do you mind if I pray for us real quick this morning? Father, just take a minute, and we ask for your presence to fall on this place, Lord God, that you would prepare all of our hearts, Father, that you would empty me of my plans and my thoughts and my words, and that it would be you speaking directly to our hearts today. Father, and I pray that the words that are spoken, Father, would be everlasting, that it would just not be a fleeting thought or something that carries us through the day, Father, but that it would be life-changing, that your words would be life-changing. And we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so with your permission, if you all will give me permission, what I want to do is I just want to go and I just want to talk about, I want to explore, right, the scriptures. So I have a few observations. Then at the end, I'm going to give you three very quick points, and then we'll wrap it up. So is that okay? So for all my type A people in the house, all of these notes can be found on the app, right, on the Miami Vineyard app. If you don't have the app, you can get it at the app store. There's a QR code in the seat pocket in front of you, and you can scan that, and you can get our app there. So you can see the notes, you can see the passage. But for all my type A people, all the observations I'm making are not on there. Right? We're just going to talk. Is that okay with you all? Are you all with me? You all haven't had enough coffee or something. But I'm just going to go for a little bit. We're just going to talk about the scripture. And then at the very end, I'm going to give you three quick points that I believe are the key, the essence of today's message. Sounds good? All right. You with me? Okay. So that was what we read. We read 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. And the first thing that I wanted to observe, the first thing that I wanted to point out is the question that I have, is there anyone in this room, and you don't have to raise your hand, but is there anyone in this room that can relate to this widow? And I don't mean relate to the widow exactly because you're a widow, but I'm talking about, is there anybody in this house that is struggling, that is suffering? Perhaps you've lost a loved one. Perhaps you have gotten a terrible diagnosis. Perhaps you only have 39 cents in your checking account. Perhaps that you've been taking care of a loved one who's ill day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Perhaps you've been in and out of the hospital for years, and you just can't seem to get ahead. Is there anybody in the house who can understand what the widow is going through? This person is just picture it. Sometimes we hear these stories and we think that they're just stories, right? We think that they're just stories, but this really happened. Try to understand. She just lost her husband, and in that day and time, a woman could not work. She couldn't just go out and go get three jobs. She couldn't Uber, you know. She couldn't do DoorDash. She was dependent on somebody taking care of her, and apparently there was nobody. Her boys were not old enough to care for her yet. And so the boys would eventually have taken care of her, but not yet. And so her only source of livelihood was getting ready to be taken away. So she lost her husband. She is completely destitute. There's nothing in the cupboards. She has two little boys, the last thing she has left, and somebody is threatening to take them away to pay for her debt. Can anybody relate to this story? If you can relate to this story, then you are in the right place today. God has a word for you today. Where are my people of God in the house today? Am I talking to anybody? Can anybody understand? Can anybody relate? Are you going through a terrible divorce? What is breaking your heart this morning? The Lord has a word for you. The Lord has a word for you. The first thing I want to observe here, one of the things that I want to observe is bad things happen to good people. Listen to me carefully. God is not punishing you. God is not punishing you. And I know people out there that are wired like me, you're sitting there and you're going, Christina, you don't know what I've done. I did this and I did that. Sometimes there are consequences to decisions that we make. Yes. But God is not sitting up in heaven rejoicing in our pain. God is not sitting up there and going, I told you not to do it. Ha ha, you're on your own. Figure it out. Sucks to suck. Sucks to be you. That is not the God we serve. If that was the God we serve, we might as well find another God. God is not punishing you. When you've made a mistake, run to God. Run to God. It's okay. He already knows. But God is not punishing you. I remember when my husband passed, my 17-year-old was so angry. So angry. And I don't remember if it was a week or two in. Sorry, Edwin. I don't know if it was a week or two in, but just walking through the house, and he was punching things, slamming things, put a hole in one of our walls. But what broke my heart was he was walking around saying, what did we do? What did we do? What did we do? And I'm here to tell you, you didn't do anything. I wish I had a better answer. This is the number one question that as pastors we get asked. We go to be with the people when they're suffering, when they're sick, when there's a loss of a loved one, and they ask us why? And I wish I could answer your why. I don't know why. I know that we live in a fallen world, but I do know this. God did not kill my husband. It was his time. Who knows? Who knows what happened? But God is not up there to destroy us. What I know is that God is the one that got me through, that God was the one that provided. Because of God's sacrifice, I will see him again. God didn't kill him. God gave him eternal life. That's the God I serve. Bad things happen to good people. You couldn't have prayed enough. You couldn't have read your Bible enough. There wasn't anything that you could have done. Sure, there are things, I know we make mistakes. But in other words, God is there for us, even in the midst of our mistakes. Even in the midst of our mistakes. I keep saying number three. There are no numbers, people. Don't be looking it up. These are just observations. I am type A and very linear, and so this is my way, my mind. There are no numbers. Another observation is I like what it says here. The prophet says, what can I do to help you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Everybody, what do you have in the house? And what does she say? Nothing. If the guys had a nickel for every time a woman said nothing to you, right? Honey, what do you feel like eating tonight? Nothing. Honey, what's wrong? Are you mad at me? What did I do? Nothing. She had a nickel for every time we said nothing. But the prophet asked her, what do you have? And she says, nothing. And then she says, well, except a flask of olive oil. And I'm here to tell you this morning that everybody in this room has something. Something. If you're watching online, if you're joining us online, type the word something, something. If you're in the room, you're going to say it with me. Say something. Something. Say something. Something. We can even say it Miami style, song sing. We have song sing. And sometimes when we're in crisis, we need to take our eyes on what we don't have, on what's lacking, on what's missing, and focus on what we do have. See, it doesn't matter what we have in our hands. I can't tell you throughout all of Scripture. He used Moses' rod. He used the fish and the loaves. He used the slingshot. God will usually use what we already have, because it doesn't matter the amount that what we have. It doesn't matter what we have. What matters is the size of our God. Okay, I believe you're starting to wake up. I believe you're starting to wake up. Oh, Lord, help me with these people this morning. Everybody has something. God uses what we have. Focus on what you do have and not on what you don't have. How am I doing on time? Okay. Another observation. And I love this. This is your I think it's two verses. It's your scripture, your memory verse for this week, because I felt like in just these two scriptures, there was so much. I'm going to read this little portion again. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. More often than not, God, does anybody else understand? Like, I don't know why God does things this way. I think this is going to be my first question in heaven. Like, what's with the hoops, big guy? Right? So, like, he didn't just say, you know, I'm pretty sure, I know they didn't have checks back then, but I'm pretty sure all she wanted was a big fat check. Like, someone just pay my bills, please. But, and she didn't even know where they were going with this, but he said, go get as many empty jars as you can. So she didn't even know where she was going. So imagine the amount of her faith at that time. See, what happens is God gives us directions and we don't fully jump in. We kind of just dip our toe. And I'm sure that after the fact, she was so grateful that she didn't just dip her toe, because she ended having enough. But she didn't know what God was going to do. He just said, get as many jars as you can. And I guarantee you that there was nobody with a few mile radius of her that had any empty jars left. I'm sure she got all the jars that she could get. But God will often ask us. I feel that we don't see God move more these days because we feel like it was bad pizza that we had the night before. Right? Like we don't get it. Like, think about how many times in Scripture God just does crazy stuff. Walk around the wall and it'll fall down. Build a boat. It's never rained before, but there's something coming. Build a boat. Just crazy story after story after story. You know, sometimes he spit on people to heal them, and sometimes he used mud, and just story after story. And that's going to be my question when I get to heaven is, what up with that? God will often call us to do things that don't make sense. Don't dismiss it. My verse, my life verse, because I'm so type A, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Because my mind gets in the way so often, because if it's not logical, I don't want to do it. If you have a job making six figures and you feel like God is saying, quit your job and go make 30, you're going, that's not Jesus. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Surely that's not God. Give your car to so-and-so. Uh-uh, that was not Jesus. That was the devil. But often, God will call us to things that don't make sense. Because if they made sense, he wouldn't get the glory. God calls us to things that don't always make sense. Something else in that verse that popped out at me. And man, I struggled with this one. This was, I think, the last observation I had, but I just found it so odd. And maybe I was balking at it after the year of COVID, but when it says go into the house and shut the door, I was like, no more for me. No more in the house, shut the door stuff. What is that? But listen, I believe that there was two things that came to me with this. And the first thing is, I believe that there are things in our life that God is calling all of us to shut the door on. To shut the door on. And it could be good things. That's the kicker. It could be good things. So I told you that one of the ways I coped when my husband passes, I began to take young ladies into my home. And I think I had about 5 or 6 total. But 2 of them stuck, right? 2 of them, you know, called me mom, and they were in our family pictures and family vacations. And I have no other words but to say that I adored these young ladies. They were mine. I might not have legally adopted them, but my heart fully adopted them. And so they began to distance themselves from me. Now they're doing great. They are flying high. I mean, one got married and has her master's, and he's a great young man, and they're working on having a family. The other is getting her doctorate, and they were just doing what God has called them to do. But I so didn't want that season to end. And then I was like, okay, and I loved that season. And so then I became a licensed foster parent, and I was going to continue, even though I was pretty sure that God was saying that season, that chapter is over. Now, there are people, some of us are in seasons where it's not a good thing, where it's time to let go of some friends. It's time to let go of some environments. It's time to let go of some habits. It's time to shut the door, to shut the door. But the other thing that came to mind with shutting the door is, I don't know about you guys, but in my tribe, right, my people, I'm a Latina, I'm a Cuban. Yes, praying for the Cuban people right now. Ooh, I am a Cuban. And so I believe also that there's a time to ask for help, right? The widow goes and she asked the prophet for help. There's a time, sometimes we don't ask for help enough. We need to ask for help. Anybody else in the family, in this house, doesn't like to ask for help? Are my people here? Oh my gosh, you're so embarrassed. Do you not raise your hand loud and proud? My people, we don't like to ask for help. If you're online, if you're joining online, say, I don't know, say, I don't like it. I don't like it. Listen, sometimes some of us go around telling everybody our business. I'm not telling you to do that. But she went to a person who could help her. Some of us need to go see the doctor. Some of us need to see a psychiatrist. Some of us need to see a psychologist. We need to get help. It's okay to ask for help. Ask the right people. Just don't go around telling your story to anything. But back to what I was saying was, shutting the door is, sometimes you have to shut the door to our past, but what I was getting at is, in my house, there's a time to ask for help, but then there's a time to shut the door. See, if she would have been in there obeying God and doing what God said, you know what my people would have done? My people would have been come in con su cafecito and go, ¿Qué estás haciendo, mija? What are you doing, child? Oh, you're pouring too much. Oh, you're pouring too little. Oh, you didn't get enough jars. Oh, you got a lot of jars. You think God said that? I don't think God said that. I think you think you're going the wrong way. And people burst our bubble because we didn't shut the door. Amen. There's a time to ask for help, and then there's a time to get alone with God, get into your house, and shut the door. Don't let anybody take away the seed that God has planted in you. Some of you have great, innovative, creative ideas, but people talk you out of it. 9 out of 10, we go around telling people ahead of time what we think God is saying, and they just burst your bubble. Burst your bubble. Listen, it's too soon. You prep, you do whatever, and then when you get later on into that idea, then you share it. Then you share it with people that could help you, with people that will encourage you, with people that will help you get it over the finish line. But sometimes we just need to shut the door. Shut the door. Whatever God is doing in your life, shut the door and get down to business. Shut the door. Another observation is her kids, her boys, were helping her in the process of this miracle. They were handing her the jars. And so a point that I wanted to make, if I can give some parental advice here this morning, after I've raised a few, the parental advice that I would have for you this morning is, don't shelter your kids so much. See, I'm a Latina, right? How many moms in the house? Moms in the house, raise your hand. Online, put, I'm a mama. Soy una mamacita. Okay, all the moms in the house. Listen, all the moms, we do anything to love and protect our kids, right? You with me? Do I get an amen on that? Are you waking up with me? It's almost over. You better be up now. But listen, I can't speak for other cultures because I'm just a Latina. But Latinas take motherhood to a whole other level, baby. We shelter those babies. We don't tell them anything that's going on. We don't tell them what's going on. Our kids would not have been in that house. They would have been outside playing. Go play outside. You don't need to hear this. You don't need to see this. You don't need to know that. We shelter the kids. And so my advice to you is don't shelter your kids to the point that they miss the hand of God in their life and in your life. The worst thing, the absolute worst thing that happened when I lost my husband was to watch my kids suffer. Oh, I kid you not. It was the worst. The worst, because it was nothing I could do. Nothing but to hold them and to comfort them. And to tell them that I was there. There was nothing I could do. And then the best thing, and can I say the best thing in the middle of a tragedy? I'm not sure, but the best thing that happened was to see those same devastated children find their own faith in Jesus. To see that God was faithful. That God was faithful. That he wasn't just my God, that he wasn't just our God, but he was Joshua's God, and he was Daniel's God, and he was Rebecca's God. And he did a work that I never could have done. And I would have missed it, and I tried to fix everything, shelter everything. Don't be so quick to bail out your kids, because if not, they're going to miss the hand of God. Sometimes I'm quicker to trust God with my own life than I am with my children's life. What is that about? Anyways, don't shelter your kids to the point that they miss the hand of God. That they don't get to see it. Listen, don't scare them to death. A joke in our family now is there was so much fear. I don't know if it's a common thing or not, but when my husband passed, my kids and I were, my husband was an ex-cop who then became a pastor. Big and burly, and he just made you feel safe, right? Like he just had this presence about him. He made you feel safe. And so for some reason, the first fear, the first feeling that I think we had collectively was fear. And I remember looking my kids in the eye and sending them on my bed and saying, I got this. God's got this. I got this. But letting them know that I got this. Inside I was thinking, I still don't got this. But so it's okay to establish some sort of safety, of comfort, of all those things. So, you know, this mama didn't tell her boys, they're coming to get you. You're going to be a slave for the rest of your life. No, you don't have to share all the details, but enough so that they can see God move. It's okay to tell your kids, things are tight right now. I'm trusting God right now. I'm waiting on the Lord on this. We got to model it for them. Model it for them. So don't shelter your kids. Okay, those were my observations. I want to leave you with three quick points. I'm running out of time. Three quick points. The first point, and these you can find on the app, but this is what I feel is the essence of the message. The first point is come empty. Come empty. Listen, we think that we need to come to God all fixed up. Someday, when I get my act together, I'm going to come to God. When I stop drinking, when I stop partying, when I stop sleeping around, when I get my degree, when I get married, when I'm ready to settle down, when I get it all right, I will come to God. God does better. He does his best work when we are empty. There's a lady in our church I've been walking with who also recently lost her husband unexpectedly at a young age. And she's sitting there crying and she's saying, I have no faith, Christina. I'm so embarrassed and I'm so ashamed of myself. I have no faith. And I'm telling her, you're in the perfect spot, sweetheart. You're in the perfect spot. Come empty. He doesn't need you to bring a thing. Just come as you are. Come empty. Come empty. Don't try to get your act together before you come. Come angry. Come lonely. Come broken, come broke, come single, come married, come widowed, but come empty. Come empty. The second point there real quick is don't be afraid to pour yourself out. And I was preparing this point, I sat there and I was praying and I just began to weep because what came to mind, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to leave the single dads out, but I really feel that this is for my single mamas out there. I remember being at my wit's end thinking, I have nothing left. Kept thinking, I can't do this. My kids would try to come and try to tell me, hey, this weekend, can I do this? And they would try to tell me, and they knew that at least for the first few months, the rule of the house was, don't talk to me. If it was Sunday, don't talk to me about Friday. We can only talk about Monday. We can only talk about Monday. I felt like I did not have enough. Has anybody in the room, and this time you can raise your hand, that you have been so emptied that you just feel you can't give one more thing? One more thing. I got nothing left. I've got nothing left. In that state, God tells me, my husband passes in November, and in that state, God tells me to take my first young lady in January. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But I take this young lady in, and it became more of a blessing because as I poured out, God filled me up. And as I poured out, God filled me up. And as I poured out, God filled me up. And my cup never ran out. Not by my strength. I knew what everybody told me, oh, Christina, you're so strong. You're so strong. Fully, I knew what I was. I knew what I did not have. I knew that I was on my bathroom floor day in and day out, crying out to a God who never let me down. Pour yourself out. Don't worry what the bank account says. Help somebody in need. Don't worry about what your emotional state is telling you. I can't. Listen, I did a lot of therapy. I believe in boundaries and self-care, so this is not a thing to go crazy. All right? I spent too much money in therapy to throw that out. But I'm saying that when we pour ourselves out, when we give God our time, when we give God our finances, when we give God everything, He pours back into us. He pours back into us. He pours back into us. At one time, I had my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, two girls, my three kids, and myself living in my house on half the salary. I said before, God be cray-cray. And I look back now, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did it. But I poured out, and God poured in. And I poured out, and God poured in. And that's your last point there. And you will be filled. And it doesn't say it, I should have added it, to the brim. Amen. To the brim. You will be filled to the brim. I want to leave you with one last thing. So, these, I don't know about you, but I am tired of living in a world, hearing people, hearing the voices in my head, hearing my mama, hearing the devil tell me that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy, that I'm unlovable, that I'm ugly, I'm tired of hearing that. So what I have done is I went through, these are all actual scriptures, right? These are all actual scriptures. So I'm going to read to you who God, once you put your faith in Jesus, this is who God says we are. Are you ready? Are you with me? Hallelujah. All right, here we go. This is who God says we are. We are His children. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the apple of His eye, made in His image, a royal priesthood, more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Chosen, forgiven, beloved, beautiful, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill, a friend, holy, blameless, accepted, called, a new creation, an heir, blessed, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, seated in heavenly places, citizens of heaven, seen, heard, understood, precious, strong, the righteousness of God. We are loved. This is us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we can binge on your word and that it is life-giving, Father. Give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Ears to hear you, courage to walk in it, Father God. And I pray that the things that are spoken here today, Father God, like I said at the beginning, will not just be for today. But Father, that starting with me, that you would do a deep work. Let it take root in our lives, Father God. Help us to walk in it, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I thank you in advance, Father God, for what you have done, for what you are doing and for what you will do in every life in this room, Father God. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. And we bless your name. And like Stephanie said earlier, we brag on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.
Was it good? Let's hear it for Christina, Pastor Christina again. I've known Christina for many, many years, and to watch her and this church family experience the loss of her husband 10 years ago was a real challenge for us and for Christina and her kids and her family. What she's communicating to you here on the weekend is true what's happening in her life. So it's amazing what God is doing in her family and her life in the midst of all of this. And amazing what God wants to do in your life in the midst of whatever it is that you might be going through as well. So we're going to receive an offering at this time, so you might want to ready that, and that's going to happen here in just a minute. But as you're doing that, as you're getting your offering ready, you've heard me say this countless times, that this church, we want to be the best friend this city ever had. And so we do all kinds of things in this community to let the community know that we love them. One of the things we're doing right now is we have partnered with a school just down the street, Devonair K through 8 school, just down the street. We went to the school and we said, is there anything you need that we can do for you? And they said, we've got 95 teachers here at this school. They said that most of our teachers were not in the classroom last year. It was virtual, but they're all going to be back in the classroom this year. Is there anything you can do to help us get some supplies for teachers? And we said, we're on it. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've been asking you for supplies for teachers. Things like dry erase markers and things like, you know, Clorox wipes and those kinds of things. And there's a list of things that we're gonna bring together. And by the way, if you go to the app, surprise, surprise, the app, the Miami Vineyard app, if you go school supplies, there's a list of things right there in the app that you can provide for teachers. So we said, bring them in. Now, next weekend is the last weekend to bring them in, and we're going to go make the delivery. So we got 1 week to do this. Now, look, here's the deal. Even if you're not going to go shopping out anywhere, you know what you can do? You can get them on Amazon and have them sent directly to the church. Just don't send them to your house, send them to the church instead. If you go to the app, our address is there, everything's right there. So if you want to do that, you can do that as well. But this next weekend coming, next weekend's the last weekend. So if you're going to do it, we got to get it done this next week. So we're going to do this. We're going to make a huge difference. And can I tell you one thing about this school? This next year, in this Dade County Public School, we're going to be having a Bible study for the students once a week in this school. Is that cool or what? God is on the move. God is always on the move. Even when it looks like we don't see him, even it looks like we can't feel him, God is always on the move. And so I love what God is doing. And thank you for making a difference in these teachers' lives. It matters. It makes a difference. So thank you for that. So at this time, we're going to receive our offering. This is where we have an opportunity to give that first 10% back to God. And so online, your online host can tell you to do that. If you're joining us on YouTube or you're in the room today, yeah, there's a text number coming up on screen. You can text your tithe in that way. It's a very simple way to do it. You can also go to the app. Just at the bottom of the app, just click the give button. And that's an easy way to give as well. And if you're in the room today, you can actually give the old-fashioned way with check and cash. That still works. There are some envelopes in the seat pockets are in front of you. What you do with the envelope, you simply put your gift in an envelope, and when you exit today in just a minute, there's wooden boxes at each exit. You can drop it right in there. And you can also swipe a credit card in the kiosk right outside. So we got a special song for you. Right now, I would just a couple minutes. So this is that time. You can do your giving right now during this time. And then I'm going to be back up on stage right after the song, dismissing us all together with one final prayer. So here we go.
Lord, I've come to my end. Out of shadows, I see your hand. I believe what you said, that you're not done with me. I know you always make a way. I know you've always stayed the same. I believe what you say, that you're not done with me. Though my hands may fail, though my heart may stray, your promises remain. So I come to you, 'cause Lord, my cup is empty. Lord, my cup is empty. Fill me with your spirit to overflow, to overflow. Lord, my cup is empty. Lord, my cup is empty. Fill me with your spirit to overflow, to overflow.
And so, if you'd like prayer today for any reason, there's a team of people gathered to the side. We'd love to pray for you for any reason at all. If you're in the room today and this is your first time here, we'd love to put a gift in your hand. If you'd stop by the blue tent in this courtyard on your way out today, want to put a gift in your hand. And so I'm going to pray for you and bless you today before we leave. Could you maybe just put your hands out in front of you, because I want to pray that God would bless you and give you a gift today. So God, we thank you for your presence. God, that you never leave us and never forsake us. God, no matter what is happening in our world, God, we know that you're with us. And I bless you today with the presence of the living God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next weekend.